shit, yo. It's 5-0. It's 5-0, yo. Shit.
Okay, so hello, welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today is Fraser McGuinness.
Hi.
Hello. Speaking from Germany, but possibly, is this for the last time, or?
I think the second last time. I think the second last time, yeah. Although I won't be in Berlin the next time I speak on the podcast.
Where will you be?
I will be in Lower Saxony in a place called Uelzen, which is just kind of near Hamburg. Don't go there, really. It's not. This isn't like some sort of tourist endorsement. This is just simply where my mother and father-in-law live. And there's nothing to see there. It's got a nice train station. But apart from that, yeah, go to Hamburg instead if you're going to go to Germany in Lower Saxony.
Hamburg's good. I've been there.
It is. Yeah, it's a nice place.
Interesting sex shops.
There are loads of them, yeah, on the Reeperbahn.
Yeah. On the Reeperbahn. I went there with Pocket Gamer's marketing manager, Alex Rainey, and a couple of other people. The day after our night out, we went for a night out, and then we stayed up all night, went to the fish market, got some stuff, went back. We were couch surfing, which is this thing that my friend who lives in Germany does, and it's a website, and you arrange with people to sleep on their couches, or they can come and sleep on your couch.
Yeah, yeah.
You can either show them, or you can spend your time with them and show them about, or it's just a free accommodation network if that's how you want it to be.
Yeah.
Alex and I were very keen on just sleeping on the couch and then getting out in the morning first thing. And the people we stayed with in Hamburg, obviously, were proper couch surfers who like to make friends with people, connect with other souls. And in the morning, after the night out, Rennie and I woke up. We had to split up into two groups. So Hewitt and Mark were in a different flat. So Rennie and I woke up just all hungover. And we could hear the other people in the flat going about their business, kind of having breakfast. And we were thinking, oh, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this flat? I think we were considering going out the balcony, but we needed a shower, so we both kind of in turns snuck into the shower, and then we tried to leave the flat without anyone noticing, but they called us and they went, would you like some breakfast? And we said, oh no, we're just gonna go, yeah, we're just backing away. Then we just left, and as we left we heard them laughing at us in this deep,
really
horrible, sarcastic German laugh, like the predator when they're
brilliant
when he's running away. So yeah, that's couch surfing.
Don't do it
if you're British.
I've always thought that the Reeperbahn is a drastically inappropriate name for a place that's lined with sex shops.
Yes, I think so. And the sex shops we went to, oh, these were hilarious. We went up to this kind of shelf of DVDs, just drunken, well, hungoverly, looking at them and laughing. There were two that I remember. So one of them was called "Don't Shit on the Let's Shit on the Thief." Okay. Uh-huh. So on the front cover, it was a couple of women by holding down a thief,
and
shit on him. And the other one was "Diarrhea Kinky Time."
That, I cannot think of a more, like, two just statements that just don't fit together.
Yeah, I know.
That's brilliant.
It's not kinky.
Yeah. Can I just point out that the Reeperbahn, it is just something that's slightly lost in translation in English. It just means, for our listeners, I'm sure Rob knows this as well, Reeperbahn translated into English doesn't mean to impose yourself upon someone in a sexual way. It means rope street, because it's a big long street and they used to make ropes there because it meant that they could wind them on the streets easily, you see?
Interesting stuff. So, yeah. It's also where the Beatles made their name.
Yes, that's right, yeah, where they played in the clubs of Hamburg back in their youth.
But yeah, so that was that. That was Germany, the sex shops and the couch surfing therein.
That was back that's like your Bowie years, you know, back before you went all commercial.
I was lost.
Yeah.
Those are my Daniel Johnson years.
Right. Oh, see what you're doing here.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, maybe revisit that subject later on.
Okay.
So what else has been happening? Where are we? We could talk about... I wasn't here last week, of course. I was on holiday. And you did this with João, as I'm now always going to call him, because I went to his home country of Portugal and learned that for the last 2 years I've been naming him João quite inappropriately. Yeah. I went there and I went to his home beach, the beach where he frolicked as a child.
Amazing.
It's the biggest beach in the world. It's like a desert with a strip of sea at the end.
Right. It sounds really beautiful, actually, from when you were talking about it before.
Yeah, no, it was good. Surfed, broke my rib, well, cracked. Did something to it.
What we've decided, what João and I decided last week, was that your accident was actually because you were attempting to impersonate one of the pygmies from Pocket God. You threw yourself into the sea and then were attacked by a shark.
I was looking out for sharks, but I wasn't attacked by one. I think if I had been, a cracked rib would have been the least of my problems.
Yeah,
I imagine shark attacks are quite. Although they don't.
Let's not imagine being attacked by sharks. That's horrible. No.
They don't want to eat. I went to a marine life centre in Porto, I learned that sharks are not. You know, they don't eat people. They don't really want to eat people. They sometimes attack them, but then after they've had a little taste, they go, yeah, no. I was really after something like a seal.
Yeah. I learned pretty much the same thing in Australia last year. There was a chap who said that as soon as they can taste like that you've got a wetsuit on or something, they're like, huh, this isn't a seal, and then spit you out kind of thing.
Yeah. Scant consolation for the people whose head gets bitten off, but there you go. They don't hate us. They're not our enemies. It's only because we tease them with our seal-like shapes.
Yes.
Okay, I think we've avoided the subject of iPhone games long enough now.
Oh, can't we just avoid it for a little while longer? Can we not just do a podcast where we don't talk about the iPhone?
We can get back to it. Okay. I think we need to dip into the subject at least.
Okay.
And let's... So
I'm just going to cut all the iPhone stuff out of this one.
That's a good idea. Well, let's see how it goes.
Okay.
The first iPhone story that I've got on the little list, which I've compiled for myself... is that Carjack Streets, the iPhone game based on the mobile game, which is also a DSi game, I think, and a PSP Go game. Yep, that's the PSP Minis game.
Okay.
Is free all this weekend on the iPhone. And you're going to be listening to this hopefully before the weekend.
Can I just double check to confirm what you said there? Basically, the Carjack Streets is free on the iPhone, but it's also free on the PSP Minis range this weekend too.
No.
Okay.
It just exists for those other platforms.
So it's only free on the iPhone.
So on the iPhone all this weekend it's free, and I think we should devise a game that becomes 59 pence for the duration of the weekend. That term, of course, being peggling. Peggle.
Right. Okay. So you want to devise a term for if a game goes free for a weekend.
Yeah. So yeah, what should we call that?
Well, we can't call it Carjack Streeting. That just doesn't sound good at all.
No, and it's not the first game to have done it. I mean, there are other games that have done it as well. Topple 2 did it.
Did it? But you know, I would feel slightly like we were just going for it because of its kind of because of its linguistic quality, and not because of the fact that it's a prominent example. You know.
Yeah, it's true. Well, what else? We could just call it Super Peggling.
Super Peggling, yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'm all for that. Peggling just works so well, and it's become near ubiquitous as well. So Super Peggling, I think, is good. We can have various degrees of peggling, in fact.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you play pool, like I do quite a lot, you know, the rules change all the time. But one of the rule changes that happened, you know, over the course of the years was that whoever breaks, and then they have to nominate what colour they are, even if they don't pot anything.
So
I break, nothing goes down, you know, I nominate red and then it's your turn, you have to be yellows, which I think is a great rule. But that means that you can say I took a break and I potted a yellow and then I chose reds and I potted all the reds, then that wouldn't just, and you didn't pot anything, then that wouldn't just be a granny being the term for me potting everything and you not potting anything. It would be a super granny, because I'd not only potted all of mine, but I'd legally potted one of yours.
Right.
But you can also, say I potted two off the break, or say in one of my free balls, I decided to pot one of your balls, you know, legally, because it was a free ball after a foul.
Uh-huh.
Or say I potted one of your balls and one of my balls in the same shot, which is also perfectly legal, as long as I hit my ball first. Then, so I could have, you know, more than one of your balls down legally. That would become a hyper granny.
A hyper granny.
Yeah, so it's a granny. Super granny is the next one. Hyper granny is the next one. I don't think I ever achieved the one after that.
What's ultra, the one after that?
I guess ultra granny.
Ultra granny. I feel foolish for asking.
But we could have exactly the same naming convention for Peggling. So if they decide to get, so if a company decides to give us money for downloading a game over the course of a weekend, that could be
hyper granny. Well, what would they need to give us for it to achieve the status of ultra granny?
They'd have to give us. They'd just give us more stuff.
Okay.
They'd have to give us some money, and they'd also have to give us another game.
Right. Okay.
So they'd have to give us free access to another game, and then that would be ultra Piggling.
Okay. Or they could get or just putting this out there, they could get a celebrity granny to be like our sort of our gopher for the day. So somebody to make us tea and, you know, fetch things from the local shop. Maybe someone like Esther Ranson.
So a granny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is Peggling, remember? Granny's to do with pool.
Yeah. I'm fearful that we've probably confused our and bored our listening public into desperation. Either they've already thrown their iPod onto the ground in disgust, or they're writing an angry letter of complaint to Pocket Gamer, so we should probably move on.
Yeah. So Cardiff Street is free this weekend. A game has come out called Tap Tap Revenge 3, very recent.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the kind of the original lot of iPhone game releases, wasn't it? It's, when I think about the original, the first rank, this is one of them, Tap Tap Revenge.
Yeah.
The third version's out now. The difference is, since the last version came out, the difference is that it's now possible for microtransactions to take place in iPhone games. So Tap Tap Revenge 3, it costs 59p, but you can buy things within the game. When I say things, I mean songs, levels, as you can in like Guitar Hero or something like that. Okay, so that's interesting. If you like rhythm action, if you like rhythm, if you like action, maybe you'll like this. We've learned this week, Chris was at an event the night before last night, and he learned that Beneath the Steel Sky, the remaster on an iPhone, is going to be out on Friday the 9th of October, which is this Friday coming.
Okay.
So if you've been looking forward to that, and you should have been, because point-and-click adventures are great, and Beneath the Steel Sky is one of the best, then that's coming out this Friday, or, you know, it should be. You know how the App Store works. It might get caught up in the approvals process, it might hit a snag, but in principle, it's coming out this Friday.
Okay, cool.
And it's very good. It's by Dave Gibbons and someone else who did The Watchmen.
Right.
And actually, well, we'll come back to this later on. If we're giving away prizes in the competition, Chris managed to get hold of some signed copies of the Beneath the Steel Sky intro comic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So maybe we'll give away one of those.
That would be a great prize, yeah.
Yeah. We've got 7. I think we're going to run a competition on the site, but also, you know, if someone maybe gets the song later, they can win one.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so that's out. Oh, that's coming out on the 9th. FIFA 2010 came out this week.
Meh. Football.
Yeah, it's predictably, I suppose. It's been one of the most popular stories on the site for the last little while.
The interesting thing about FIFA 10 coming out, I suppose, is that...
And
oh, sorry.
No, go on.
No, all I was going to say is that it seems as though maybe Konami's been waiting to see what EA does with FIFA on the iPhone before releasing its own iPhone version of PES. So perhaps now that FIFA 10 is out, Konami will finally make good with an announcement about PES coming to the iPhone. I wouldn't be surprised, personally.
Oh, yeah, I'm amazed that it's taken this long.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it will come.
They're very precious about that franchise, because, as are the fans, that's why it's so important for them to get it right, I think, you know?
Yeah, so. Definitely. Well, I'm sure it will come, but this week it's all about FIFA 2010, which we which came out, selling very well indeed, actually. It, let's see, John wrote a story. FIFA 10 at $10, so it's right up there. $5.99, I guess, in the UK.
Okay.
So that's the highest price point in the App Store for games. And it went straight into the top 100 on the App Store, so it's selling well. We reviewed it, and what did we say about it? I don't know. I haven't seen the review because I was away on holiday. 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Cool.
Reviewed by John Mundy.
And lots of comments there as well.
Looks quite good. Fancy graphics.
They are fancy, aren't they? Yeah.
Anyway, that came out. If you're interested, if anybody's interested in FIFA 2010, as you can probably tell, Fraser and I are not footballing types. But
no.
That's it. Another game came out by the name of Cannibalt, which we've talked about on the podcast before. Very addictive flash game. Have you downloaded the iPhone game yet?
I have, yeah. Slightly controversial price point, but it's worth every penny if you ask me.
So what's it?
$2.99.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. It seems a lot, doesn't it?
It does, because the game, you know, there's not a tremendous amount of depth to Cannibalt, you know. But I suppose, ultimately, that's almost one of its strengths. You know, its simplicity is one of the things that makes it so great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I may get hold of that.
Yeah, you ought to. I mean, you know, that's the inevitability with all games in the App Store is that they're going to come down in price at some point. So, you know, but for a game like Cannibalt, I just couldn't resist.
Yeah. So that's out, Cannibalt. Definitely very interesting, and it's linked to Twitter, isn't it? So I've noticed on Twitter some people are their scores are kind of appearing. I've just died and I've just done this. So yeah, so that's good. What does it say? I was vaporized at 1500 meters or something.
Yeah,
that's what it says. So yeah, that's out. Probably quite good. And finally, in the news. This isn't this week's news, really, but it only came to my attention after I got back from holiday. The first news story on Pocket Gamer is from the day I left. A game called Hi, How Are You? By Daniel Johnston has hit the App Store. Who's Daniel Johnston?
Daniel Johnston didn't make the game.
But it's associated with him. It's
sure.
It's a Daniel Johnston production, isn't it? Let's see. It's by Dr. Fun Fun.
I think it's influenced by the music of Daniel Johnston.
Yeah, Daniel Johnston themed. But anyway, yeah, and it's on the App Store. And Daniel Johnston, people are saying, who is Daniel Johnston? They're desperately kind of they're running to internet terminals so that they can look him up. But you know, we'll save them the effort and just tell them that Daniel Johnston is a folk musician who was first made famous because Kurt Cobain wore a T-shirt that said "I love Daniel Johnston" on it, and everybody, it was wet. Said, "Who's Daniel Johnston? Who is this man? We've got to give him a record contract. He must be awesome if Kurt Cobain likes him." So they ran out to do so. All these record companies, let's sign him up. This guy, we don't even need to listen to his music. He must just be brilliant. They ran. Where is he? He was in a mental institution. So they couldn't sign him up straight away, I don't think, because he was in a mental institution, and that's what he is, basically. He's a mental folk musician.
Yeah, he's been institutionalised and mentally ill for a long, long time, and yeah, I don't think he's really been in full possession of his faculties for a while now. Yeah, he famously once, when he was flying a plane with his dad, like a little kind of biplane thing, he crashed it deliberately into the ground because he thought that like the devil was in the cabin with them or something. So yeah, bit of a sad story, Daniel Johnston. But they both survived.
It was pretty mental.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to see that. So that came out on the 25th of September or thereabouts. I'm angry, in fact, not just sorry, but angry to see that it had an introductory price of 59p, which I don't think it still applies. I think it's slightly more expensive than that now.
Yeah.
But anyway, it looks very interesting. So yeah, go get that. Support Daniel Johnston and his crumbling mind. Okay, so that's the news.
Is that the news? Cool.
No more news.
No more news. So now rumours, yeah?
Yeah, and let's be more upbeat about this now.
Right. This is the rumour mine!
Rumor. Rumor.
I don't know about you, Rob, but I'm just thrilled to be in the Rumor Mine. How about you?
I'm very thrilled.
Very thrilled. Wow. Would you say that you're perhaps super thrilled, hyper thrilled, or ultra thrilled?
I don't know about that, Fraser, but I'll tell you something. I'm thrilled to the max.
Thrilled to the max? Wow, that's a new entry.
Yeah, to the max. Right up to 11.
Okay.
So, the thing I'm thrilled about is I'm thrilled about two things this week. Both of them are rumours. One of them is a rumour that came from the event that Chris attended on Monday night concerning Beneath the Steel Sky. He learned during that event that the creators of the original game are not at all against the idea of making a sequel.
Ooh.
Which we'll call Beneath the Steel Sky 2.
Wow.
So, you heard it here, potentially first.
That's, do you know what? That's actually a good rumour.
Yeah.
Good lord.
Yeah, it's on the site though, so okay. People might have read it on the site, but
still,
if this is the first encounter you've had with it, then here it is, there's the rumour. It's possible, there's no reason why not, Beneath the Steel Sky 2 may come to your iPhone at some point. So, yeah, Beneath the Steel Sky is coming, and Beneath the Steel Sky 2, an all-new adventure, may be coming.
There'll be people out there jumping up and down right now at the sound of that.
Yeah, I would be, if I weren't such a professional broadcaster. That's not it, though. There is another rumour. There's another rumour.
Okay.
This one from Namco.
Ah, yes.
Namco, they have already kind of taken an interest in iPhone, quite, you know, a heavy interest. And about a month ago, I think they were on record. They were interviewed by somebody or other, and they said that they've got their own iPhone games division, and they're well into it, and they want to make good iPhone games. And most recently, they've said that they're retaking Tekken. Tekken to the iPhone.
It's an odd choice. I mean, not that I'm not happy about it. I quite like I've never been massive on fighting games, but I did quite like the Tekken series. But I would have expected to see Ridge Racer before Tekken arriving on the iPhone.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, Ridge Racer would be a better fit. I suppose they're just, but he's not said it's definitely coming.
No.
What he said was this is in an interview with the Washington Post. He has said it's not about the genre per se. He's probably American, so I really should just do his accent.
Yeah, I think you ought to.
Okay. It's not about the genre per se. It's about being able to get the game mechanics right, he explains. Regarding the suitability of certain types of games on the iPhone. If we can take Tekken and make it really fun to play on the iPhone, then we will. We do have a back catalogue, of Japanese games that we're working on, as well as some new IP. So that's what they're doing. Tekken may be coming.
I love how you broke character there to correct the spelling.
It's not really, I just think, in general, I think American spelling is better than English spelling. It makes more sense. And maybe catalog does as well. But catalog is one of the few American spelled words. Because generally I see color, something like that, and I think, good work, America. You had a spelling reform, and it was very sensible. But catalog is one of the few that just looks like it's missing a limb. Looks like it's just wrong. Usually they look more right than the English versions. Not catalog for some reason. That just looks wrong. But there you go.
Also, can I point out you sounded like somebody from the Deep South, circa late 1800s. There, you sounded like a character from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
There. Yeah. Well, I figured. I think it just sounded to me like he was from around there. Although he was speaking to the Washington Post, I don't know why that's a clue. Washington State, Washington City, probably Washington DC. I don't know how they speak there.
Me neither. I have no idea. In fact, there really are only, in my mind, probably two different American accents. Although I'm aware there are many more, but two that I can actually identify.
I think I could do three. I could do that one. Down south. It's not about the genre, per se. Right? South.
Okay.
California girl, from California. I'm so like awesome.
All right. Yeah. No. Okay. Okay. That's definitely. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
She's
there.
From the OC.
Yeah.
Then you've got New York. Hey, hey, buddy. I'm walking here.
okay.
Right.
So is that like an Italian American New York accent there?
I think just all New Yorkers speak like that.
Okay.
How you doing?
Right. Okay.
And also, of course, there's Baltimore. Baltimore.
Of course.
The projects.
How could I forget? Yeah.
Shit, yo, it's 5-0. It's 5-0, yo. Shit.
So those are the four accents of America. You can find that together. I've been watching a program called Trailer Park Boys recently, and it's I think really strangely there. They say a boot.
Oh no! Yeah, that's like the sort of like in the northern part of the U.S. where it starts to get a bit Canadian sounding.
Yeah. Well, this is set in Canada. It's set in where is it? Oh, on the west. But yeah, it's not a boot, Dad. It's not a boot. Cars. It's not a boot. Cars and guns. It's almost like
you
Irish.
Sound like you're from that, like yeah, from Dublin or something.
They say cars instead of car. It's just because I sleep in my car. Is that a boot, Dad? Just going to sleep and going to get drunk? Anyway, so that's how they speak in Canada. That's five accents.
Wow.
Anyway, in conclusion, Tekken may be coming to the iPhone. Anyway, shall we... Let's climb out.
This has been a most successful rumor of mine. I even enjoyed it, so I'm happy to be leaving contented.
It's a good sign for the future.
Yeah.
Rumor. Rumor.
Okay.
Okay, we're at the home stretch.
Home stretch. That was painless. Brilliant.
Yeah, it's good. So we just eased out. So what have we been playing? How many games have you been playing?
I've played 2.
Okay. I think maybe I'll go first because I can't say very much about my games. And then we can end on a high note with you talking about the games you've played.
Got no pressure. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I downloaded a game called Parking Mania. I don't know why. I only downloaded the light version. I haven't actually paid for it yet. Parking Mania, and it's a game about parking a car. So the way it works is you've got controls for accelerate and reverse. So on the right-hand side of the screen, there's a D and an R. But you steer your car by tilting your handset with the accelerometer, and you have to, and you're at the entrance to a car park in every level, and you just have to maneuver your car into the parking bay. That is the game.
Okay.
If you crash into stuff too much, you fail.
We've hit the bottom. Like really, parking cars. Is it good?
I'm not enjoying it very much at the moment, but only because I think it's difficult. It's very difficult, but you know, if you're good at stuff, if you're good at games, and if you like a challenge, then you might enjoy it. It seems to me that it's quite a limited premise.
Sure.
But it's pretty well done. The graphics are nice, and the whole implementation is good. I'm just not sure about the concept, but there's a light version anyway. So if you want to. You know, if it sounds interesting to you, if parking cars is the kind of thing you enjoy, if perhaps you've always wanted to be a valet parker for a hotel or a casino or some an organization like that, then this might be the kind of game you like. Parking Mania. Mania, I think, is a bit of a... It's optimistic.
Sure. Okay. So do you want to hear what I've been playing?
Yes, please.
I've been playing... Well, I've just before I talk about what I've been playing, I finally completed Peggle, which was... I don't know. It was a long time coming. It's a game that no matter what... If I take longer than maybe 10 or 15 seconds to decide what I'm going to play when I'm flicking through my home screen, I almost always instinctively go back to Peggle. So I finally finished the main challenge, and that was very... I've got a sense of inner satisfaction that can't really be rivaled by anything else. So... I highly recommend if you've got Peggle to finish it. But anyway, I've been playing new games. I've been playing Brain Challenge 2, the Game Loft effort at a brain training game. And it's very much like Brain Challenge 1, but with some flashier visuals and some various extra modes. And, you know, it's hard to find things to complain about with games like this. It's very sort of by the numbers in terms of design. You know, it's good. There's very little to complain about, but I just ultimately can't get terribly excited about it. But that might be perhaps something to do with the game telling me often that I am less intelligent than I think I am. I've probably got quite a nasty little kernel of just rancor reserved for that game somewhere deep in my soul. But it's not bad. It's good. So if you're interested in brain training games, I would probably buy that over Brain Challenge 1, I suppose.
But they have glued down their brain training games on iPhone.
Don't know, to be honest.
Right, Brain Genius. I'm not sure either. But, you know, there's other ones to have a look for. And also, there is a Dr. Kawashima game.
I remember reading about that, yeah.
So, there's plenty of options for Dr. Train Your Brain.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brain Challenge 2. It's very well presented, actually. And I like the there's like a sort of rudimentary profile creation system where you can create an avatar that looks like you or a little bit like you anyway. The challenges are well adjusted to the touchscreen, so it's good. So just forget my cynicism and bitterness and go and get it. The other game I've been playing is another line drawing game, which I think we can now pretty much safely say that line drawing games are a genre in their own right. It's no longer fair to say that any new line drawing game is simply a copy of Flight Control. I think Flight Control was the game responsible for creating the genre, and we've since now... there are loads. There are just simply... I don't know how many there are, but I've certainly played, I think, no less than 5 or 6 different line drawing games over the past 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And this one is called Peter and Vlad. That's Peter und Vlad, as in the German word for and. And, it's set in Bavaria, and essentially the story is that Peter is a farmer who is trying simply to herd a sheep, as farmers do, without the aid of a dog, though, strangely. Maybe they don't like sheepdogs in Bavaria, I don't know. But his brother, Vlad, is a slightly overambitious and bumblingly incompetent mad scientist of sorts who has invented a weather machine with the intention of making his brother Peter's life easier, because if you're a farmer and you can control the weather, that's obviously a good thing. But the weather machine, sadly, is fueled by wool, and so it sporadically attempts to consume sheep that are on the field that you're trying to herd. So the idea is basically to try and herd the sheep into the barn before Vlad's weather machine, which has gone out of control, snaffles them up itself. So, and it's very, very good, and it is definitely one of the best presented line drawing games I've ever seen. It's got a lovely animated title screen, and everything's got love. You know, in Nintendo games, the way that Nintendo games do visual and audio feedback so well, even if it's something like just something like a menu or something, this game has got that feel. You know, it's just a pleasure to navigate even the menus to turn the sound down or something like that. It's just a really, really lovely looking game. And it's good fun as well. And the thing about line drawing games is that ultimately there's not much there. You know, it's really about high score chasing. And Peter and Vlad is definitely guilty of that as well. But it's good, you know. So if you're really a big fan of the genre, or if you have not really kind of dipped your toe into line drawing games beyond Flight Control, then I would recommend it highly.
Peter and Vlad, how much is that?
It's a bit pricier than your typical... I think line drawing games, it's kind of par for the course for them to come in at 59p. This one's 119, but I wouldn't be surprised if the price was dropped over the course of the next few weeks. But it's worth 119. It's got local and global online leaderboards and all that jazz as well, so...
It's good. Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, those are the games we've been playing.
Yeah.
So, I believe we're going to talk about something moderately exciting now. But you're going to play us an audio clip.
I am going to play us an audio clip.
We're not going to talk about it, because that would give the game away.
No, that would give the game away. All we want from this I think it's going to be pretty obvious, the artist, but I want the name of the song, okay? Okay.
Very nice.
Isn't it just? It's a lovely little bit to put in at the end of the podcast.
Yes. So I guess that is the end. No previous winners to announce or anything like that.
No, there aren't. Apologies for the delay in the and prizes going out, listeners. They will be going out very soon. There was a monkey got into our machine and chewed through some cables or something. Or some other equally implausible excuse. So bear with us, they're coming. And if you've got the answer to this week's competition, if you think you've got the right one, just write to me, fraser@pocketgamer.co.uk.
Very good. So all that remains is for me to say, go to pocketgamer.co.uk to read all our writings, to get you can get the jump on the news that comes out in the podcast. Doesn't, of course, mean you don't need to listen to the podcast, but you can, when as we're talking, you can know what we're talking about, or trying to talk about, at pocketgamer.co.uk. You can give us a rating on iTunes, and aside from that, and you can also put in requests for outlandish accents for us to both try next week.
I think mainly you.
Yeah, you haven't done very many, have you?
I don't think I've done any.
You've pretty much left me to do it on my own here. I'm out on a limb.
I'll try and perfect one for next week.
You can do an Aberdeen accent and then like an Edinburgh.
Edinburgh
and Glasgow is quite different.
Sorry?
Edinburgh and Glasgow are quite different.
They are.
We could go out with a. I'll go out in a Glasgow accent. Right. You can go out in an Edinburgh accent.
Well, Edinburgh, that's basically just my normal accent, really, an Edinburgh accent.
Yeah, okay. Well, right then, wee man. I'll catch you next week.
I'll do an Edinburgh scaff, right? An Edinburgh, I was using a colloquial term there. I'll do an Edinburgh Ned. You're at it, big man. Nae bother, catch you next week, eh?
Hey, catch you next week.